RuPaul's Drag Race, lay the best drag queen win. Ha-cha-cha.
Hi, my name is Saria Cha-Cha, and I'm here for All-Star 7. Oh, God.
Yeah, she was on All-Stars. Have you, like, processed that yet?
I literally said that joke because I was like, wouldn't that be funny if they brought her back? And I'm like, they literally did the last season. Okay, what's the whole thing? Do you know about her, like, the whole wig drama with Saria Cha-Cha?
Don't
do you
even open this can of worms.
Me.
Don't commit to a bit you're not willing to follow through with. So we have All-Stars Drag Race news. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's finally out, girl. All winners confirmed.
I've been sitting on this for a long time. I knew about this a while back just because, you know, they let you know. But the season didn't get delayed, but they definitely had to push a lot of stuff back last year.
Because there's like 7 different seasons of Drag Race every year now.
Well, I had interviewed Raven for her makeup show, and that was initially supposed to come out in like June, and it didn't end up coming out until November. So you can imagine like
they had already filmed it around that point, I believe, right? Like basically a year ago.
So this season in particular is Shea Coulee, Jinx Monsoon,
Raja, Monet Exchange,
Trinity the Tuck,
Jada Essence Hall,
Jada,
and the Vivian from UK.
Weird choice.
Yeah, why do they have to always like import a British queen now? It feels like every season.
Why did they only do one though? That's the thing.
Well, because UK versus the world already happened. And then also allegedly All Stars for the UK is already filming, which is
UK versus the world?
Yes, and UK 3 came out like last fall. Like, is UK 4 already filmed and done and they've already chosen who's going to be an All-Stars?
I don't like the All-Stars every year trend because it doesn't give girls
getting unsustainable.
And also, like,
UK versus the world, Jimbo and Lemon, like, literally had the season premiere and went right into filming again.
Katya had just very, very recently gotten off of Drag Race and, like, started a career doing with Trixie when she went back to do All Stars 2.
Yep.
But All Stars 2 was iconic because All Stars 1 had happened very recently into production. And then All Stars 2, it didn't happen until I think when season 8 was airing.
Yeah, it was
four
or 5 years
later. It was like those girls, especially the season 5 girls and the season 6 girls, had a little time to cook. You know, they had a little time in the oven. They got to get crispy around the edges.
Now they're
some of them got to renew their fillers before going on TV again. And you have it now where like it's expected that All Stars comes out every year, but Drag Race seasons are catching up to the amount of All Stars.
Well,
right?
At this point, yeah. Now it's like half the cast was on like a season or two ago.
Yes.
Like me and Piercer.
And it makes All Stars worse.
Well, me and Piercer rewatching season 11 of Drag Race because we had like intermittently watched it when it
Which
aired.
Which is, by the way, a really good season.
I was about to say, I'm actually impressed. Like, I feel like I remember being bad, and there's some jokes they make that I feel like actually aged well. Like, it was too.
Can I actually say something bad too?
What?
Aside from the Sherry Pie of it all,
well, that season 12
was
actually
also really good, and that was drastically overshadowed
because
or like
of the
massively
Sherry Pie
overshadowed
drama.
By Sherry Pie. But like that season was better than season 13.
Well, let's be honest.
No, season 11 was pretty good
but
too.
But we're watching season 11, and I'm like, half of these people are literally on All Stars 5. Like half of them on here were on All Stars 5. Like, how did that happen?
Already?
I'm sorry, All Stars 6. Yeah. It's hard to follow nowadays. There's like 10 versions.
I forget the amount of people who were on All Stars 11, though. Like, just
wait, All Stars 11?
Season 11.
Well, no, half the queens, I'm like, who are you? The other half, I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, we had
Versace, may she rest in peace.
Like, what happened to her?
I'm sure she's has a lot of really good brunch gigs.
So we have Scarlet Envy, Silky Nutmeg Ganache, yes. Raja. They were all in All Stars 6.
Akiria.
Yeah, Akiria. It's a lot.
It is literally All Stars 11. Like, they just brought back half of the cast. It was a good cast, though, so I can imagine why they did it.
But I thought it was going to be, like, a new spinoff, but I guess that's, like, kind of too expensive. So All Stars 7, this season specifically, is only winners. Only and that's winners. How they're filling in the gap.
And the thing is, though, it has...
And it's a $200,000 prize, which finally adjusted for inflation.
Can I ask you something?
What?
Do you think they couldn't afford to get more girls? Or do you think...
I think it was too expensive. Because all these queens charge a lot now. They've been around for a while.
But I mean, I don't know if they're being paid on TV. Like, we don't know what their per episode rate is for All Star 7.
We do not know.
Because we do know some of the girls get paid below a living wage to appear on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, it's very low. What they start you with.
But I wonder if it's because they couldn't find enough people to do it. Because we do know that there are people who turned it down. Some people were vocal about it. Turning it down.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Some people are busy.
Some people are busy. So it's just interesting that they only have 8 of them, because it would have been iconic with at least 10, right? Like,
that's how I felt too. I think when it's weird with 8 is like, Lily, you eliminate 3 girls and it's like half gone.
Well,
like,
the is rumor gonna be a top is, 3? Is it's not elimination based.
Oh, you're right. It's going to be like a point system. I mean, that I think is better. I think with 8 girls.
Well, because I think for All Stars, the entire purpose of All Stars is to put people who are genuinely loved and adored or reviled on television with pre-existing fan bases to like triple your audience numbers, right? Yeah. Because like Drag Race is huge, but All Stars is incredibly more memorable.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
The things that people quote from Drag Race are generally from All Stars.
Well, yeah, because you have people who are like trained and ready and like can do
it
again.
Not to say that regular Drag Race isn't, you know, the same or isn't giving kind of.
Well, it's
the
a
same.
Lot messier and like has people
but
who are
these
really
girls
like
on
trying.
All Stars usually have like a better idea of what's going on, and people like them enough to go back to seeing them on All Stars. And so like keeping them around is just smarter, because it eliminates the need for people to tweet like, oh my God, how could you possibly have eliminated X, Y, or Z this early in the competition? Yeah. Right? Like, you brought this girl back who's loved, and then you immediately get rid of her on TV. Like, what's
the UK versus the World is a great example of how it's become a complete flop, that format.
It doesn't work. People don't enjoy it. It's not fun to watch them eliminate each other. It's not skill based. It's skill based only in much as it is to win the immediate challenge.
And now that
and then
the format
rest of it goes out of the window.
And now that the format, which we've clearly seen from the last few seasons of all the Drag Race franchises, is to basically make sure everyone has an equal chance at the end. It's like, we can't keep eliminating everybody, because then everyone's at stake all the time. Like every episode, you're either in the top or you're in the bottom. And if you're in the top, you're going to eliminate someone that's competition. Yeah. If you're in the bottom, you're going home immediately.
I mean, I said this to you when we were doing something the other day, where Drag Race would be smart to learn from season 14 that they should switch to a point system.
Yeah.
And these girls should just get to stay the entire time.
So then we can stop doing the whole like, oh no, Shantae, you both stay. And like, let's bring her back from episode 1.
What if we just kept everyone the whole time? It was a point system for the first, I don't know. If you want to do a 12 episode season, for the first 6 episodes, everyone stays. And then it becomes elimination via points. And who has the most at the end of the week? It gives people a chance to catch up. It gives people a chance to fall behind and rise up.
And they can
still
manipulate the shit out of it. They can be like, oh, we have a sudden 10-point opportunity side quest.
Yeah,
like,
the golden ticket today is going to give you extra points.
Yeah,
and they can just give it to whoever. These girls get to show off all their outfits. They get to show everyone everything they did. And I would say, listen, it is not the getting to see these girls more on season 14 that people are annoyed with. It is the constantly fluctuating rules that people are annoyed with.
Yeah, because this feels baseless. It's
because
complete chaos.
The idea is that there's supposed to be progression. So with points, you still get progression, right? There's a leaderboard.
Yeah.
You could make it some glamazon leaderboard.
Yeah.
Make it like red lipstick numbers
exactly.
Or something.
No,
some
it's
bullshit
so
like that,
easy.
Right?
So easy.
Or how many red lipsticks do you have? There you go.
Or the repeater badges.
It's like that. So like that way, everyone gets to show off everything they got made, so that no one has to think like, I spent all this money, I didn't even get to show it on TV. I have to post it on my Instagram.
And the lip syncing can still be worth something. Yes. I guess it's the lip syncing for your life though, which is the hard part, right?
No, it'd be lip syncing for the legacy.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Or if which it was lip syncing for your life, it's lip syncing for, it'd be like, you get 2 points if
you get no points. Yeah.
And whoever.
Or you like get detracted points or something, and you can like get in the negative or like get thrown off the board completely. Yeah, there's like infinite amount of ways. If anything, it opens up more formats.
That way.
Because currently, it's just like a mess.
And also, that way, the drama keeps going. Because rather than like, we all had drama with her and now she's gone, it was, you said that to me in Untucked last week when we were both in the bottom. And now I'm back this week. And I'm right up you.
And now we also don't have to keep the villain on longer because they're the villain. They can just stay anyway. Like with Daya, like they're keeping her because she's the villain.
She's also really good.
And she is. She is. I mean, she's not my kind of taste, but like the drama is keeping her there too. Like
I would say there's a narrative on TikTok and on Twitter where people are like, Daya would be like the queerest winner of Drag Race in a while because, like, you know, she's more openly queer, like talking about sex and making like villain jokes and like doing that kind of thing. Basically, okay. Like messy,
yeah,
is what they're standing in. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's really interesting if we're going to keep talking about Drag Race because, like, we have literally like two like out trans women in the top five
right there.
I'm making sure that I'm not missing anybody. It's Lady Bosco, Camden, Bosco, Willow,
yeah,
Angeria, and Daya Betty. Okay, yeah. Yes. So Daya, Camden, and Angeria have not came out as trans.
Yes.
Just Willow and Bosco. But like, yeah, in a season where there is like literally Willow Pill, who like did a number about committing suicide and self-harm in the very first episode and has came out in some of the weirdest outfits we've seen on mainline Drag Race.
Oh, absolutely.
Also fully proving that she is the drag sister is what she says of Evie, oddly. And then to be like, oh, the tall white guy is actually the queerest out of all of them is just very interesting. It's very interesting to me how that happens. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very, very interesting.
People see something very different in others, I think.
It is time have a white man win Drag Race. Like, God forbid.
Okay, sorry,
God forbid 2022 is the year where white men finally get to win on Drag Race.
Okay, what was that tweet that, like, decimated me that was like, oh, finally, it's all winter season, so there's no fat people finally on Drag Race.
No, that's the truth, though.
Like, literally, like, it's actually crazy that that's true at this point.
I don't think, besides Lawrence Chaney on UK.
Yeah. Has there been like a plus size queen? Like,
or like just like a genuinely fat queen? Yeah. Like, who has won? They've certainly come close and they've certainly been used for narrative devices.
Oh, they've given them many chances and are like, no, no, actually, we don't see it for you. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Sorry.
Can we talk about though, like, this formatting choice for a top five has made me like, it's put me on the edge. Like, it is unbearably stupid. Like, I genuinely don't see it as anything other than like a last breath grab at like relevancy or something, or like nuance in the show.
We're just fully gonna just only talk about Drag Race now. But you're, I like, also want to point out that almost jumped through the TV when Ru was like, Willow, I'm so glad you didn't just succumb to your illness like so many other people
oh
do.
My god, right?
I was that, like, was so nasty fucking nerve. And Willow obviously sitting there like, okay, boom, I'm just gonna let you say this because I need you to give me $150,000. Like just to come out with that like extra boomer energy of like, you know, some of us have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and like, I don't care if you're chronically ill. Like, it's not an excuse.
And it's such bullshit because they're using that as a storyline also. Like, yes. The producers have very much been like, look at Willow struggling to do these things. And like, I don't want to say as they should, because I do think it is fair for them to talk about their illness as like a reason why it inspires their drag, because it does. And that's that's their word, and I'm going to trust their word. But the production uses that very much as like, oh, look, here is their storyline. They suffered from this. But they're like, dealing with this. And then Rue has to be all like, oh, it's great that, like, you know, it doesn't really matter anyway. Like,
no, Rue's basically saying, you're a good disabled person. You are the kind of disabled person.
Look at you,
I like.
Not using your disability as an excuse for doing bad in the competition.
Like, ugly energy to bring. It just like really like put a bad taste in my mouth. The whole episode, I was like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, shut the fuck up, Rue. Like,
oh, and then, yeah, the shit that Carson and, like, all of them were saying, the judges, it was, like, fully scripted by the end of it. The way that they were trying to justify all of them are equally perfect and good. And, like, really, though, I do not want to be mean to Bosco because I like them. I think they're great. I think they're great All-Stars material as well.
Yeah, she's great.
But, like, listen, it's half-baked at best at the end, and that's fine. But them putting in Jerry and Willow against each other because they're friends and they both have said in confessionals, it'd be so awful to lip sync against my best friend. And both of them doing very well, clearly doing well in the challenges, a statistical good record.
Oh, the amount of
and they're
times,
like, Bosco, you're safe, it's good. Actually, and Jerry and Willow, you're terrible, and you need to lip sync.
You know, we've said this before.
Delusional girl.
But they've intentionally kept Willow from winning multiple challenges because otherwise she would be steamrolling the competition.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think one of the wins that people think should have been hers, which was the supercut, I think that that was genuinely, I thought Deja did the best in that challenge. Like,
yeah.
People quote it all the time. The, like, I was born at a very young age is, like, very funny to say.
Yeah.
But besides that, there has been multiple wins where I'm like, the hosting, the panel challenge, I thought Bosco just repeated Tumblr jokes. Like, it was just jokes that no, she read on the internet.
Not funny.
And Willow was, like, effervescent in that challenge, like truly glowing.
Yeah, because they have that star power where it's like they're being themselves and they're being funny and yeah, it's interesting.
And I think it's because
and
of
it's different
other people in the past, like Simone, who truly steamrolled the competition in season 13, that they're doing the same thing they did to Crystal Versace, where she like lost some challenges and then won some, and it was like, is she gonna, is she not gonna? And it's why everyone hated season 3 of UK. They're doing the same thing to Willow because they were produced at the same time, where it's like, yep, we're gonna keep everyone on our toes because the show's becoming too predictable, so we're just gonna throw all the rules out and never award the actual winner, because then when we crown them at the end, we can give them an underdog narrative and it's a shock, rather than like, oh, they were just genuinely better than everyone else in the competition.
And that's why it's annoying when the queens get all mad about like, oh, I'm safe, it means I'm not good enough, like I'm not in the top. And it's like, okay, like maybe you have to say this, maybe the producer's putting a gun to your head to continue this narrative, but it's been obvious now that being safe means they're keeping you for the end. And they just don't want to do that thing you just said where they let you steamroll the competition. They need to give the safe people wins so they can eliminate them later, and then later on, like, give the present of an actual award.
Yes.
Because the amount of times Willow was wearing the most insanely sick outfits and was clearly different from the rest, and they were like, yeah, you're safe.
Although I need to stand up to say this because I'm gonna get annoyed and I don't want to beat you to a bloody pulp.
What are you doing?
I have to stand up because I have to get this out. It's literally I'm exercising
let
a demon.
The record show Joan is standing.
Okay, if you're gonna go on Drag Race, okay, first off, I'm a drag queen now, my name is Acrylic Nails, so I'm a drag queen. I can talk about drag queens, I can give you tips because I am also a drag queen now, my name is Acrylic Nails. So if you're going to go on Drag Race, and I'm talking to Willow Pill, but I'm also talking to everyone else in the competition. If you're going to go on Drag Race and you're going to walk out on that runway, I need you to put acrylic nails on. And also, if you are going to have a rhinestone story to your outfit, if you're going to have an outfit that is bedazzled, it is bedazzled silk, and you are going to have a headpiece made out of that silk in the shape of mouse ears, then you need to bedazzle the mouse ears, okay? Bedazzle the mouse ears. I am sick of these girls coming out on this stage and not rhinestoning their fucking outfits. I am sick of them not wearing nails. And if you are going to do bimbo hot girl drag, I need you to pad. And I need to not see your shapewear peeking out of the back of your dress.
The worst.
I get it. You're getting ready in a change. You're getting ready in a hurry. You're getting ready in a rush. But like, I want to see acrylic nails on your hands. And I want to make sure that you rhinestone your tights.
You really are exercising a demon. You are doing full like forward lifts right now.
Why? Why was Willow's outfit rhinestoned and then the mouse ears were bare? Why?
It really is that missing detail.
It is the
that
single
makes such a difference.
When I saw it, I almost punched a hole into my wall. Like, my name is Travis and I'm living in the suburbs and I hate my mom and I'm hopped up on energy drinks. Like, why were the mouse ears not bedazzled too? It would have pulled the whole outfit together. It would have been glamour. Okay, I'm done now. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
I mean, nothing you said was wrong.
So we have some, like, non-Drag Race news.
Ashlyn, I thought you were saying we're only talking Drag Race.
I do love Ashlyn being like, oh, you were serious. You were literally going to stand up.
Okay. I thought you were serious too.
So, so
she's gaslighting us all, Ashlyn. Don't worry.
So
I did. We could talk about Drag Race for 45 more minutes.
Oh, we fully
easily could.
So Ashlyn's verbally assaulting me. I'm lying about women again. So Kim Kardashian details pre-SNL relationship with Pete Davidson, reacts to Kanye West. No. Rihanna describes finding out about pregnancy, telling A$AP Rocky, I wouldn't say this was planned. No. Lala Kent says she cut Tom Schwartz out of her life after he hung out with her ex Randall Emmett.
Ugh.
No. Katie Maloney was dying inside during the Tom Schwartz marriage.
There's a Reddit post that we have linked that is absolutely a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. If you want to go read it, we won't be. So, oh, this is really funny. I'm gonna talk about this. So, you watched Mike's Glee video.
I've started, but I haven't finished it yet.
So, it's, you know, great, Glee's though. In the air. We're all talking about Glee. So, yeah. You know, I just want to put out a prayer circle for Leah Michele as I read this next headline. Funny Girl's Beanie Feldstein reveals she received a letter from Barbara Streisand. Like, again, Leah Michele is like punching holes in walls. Like, as I say this, like, she's spinning out like a freaking Beyblade, like just chomping, just chewing up her environment right now. Quote, this is from Just Jared. The 28-year-old actress made an appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on Monday. During her appearance, she discussed taking on the role of Fanny Bryce in the new Broadway revival of Funny Girl. She revealed that she received a note from Barbara before they began performances. I was in my dressing room the night before the first preview, and I got a piece of mail, and it just said, "For Beanie" on it. I opened it, and it was from Barbara Streisand. I never met her before, and it was really a beautiful, touching thing that I will keep at my side at my table getting ready forever. Just, if you hear the chattering of 1,000 ice blocks, it's Leah Michele's teeth as she keeps on spinning out like a Beyblade. Just, that's like Leah Michele right now, just like frothing. Someone's going to have to test her for rabies at any moment.
And, like, you know, I don't blame her, because when you Google Leah Michele and filter by news, the first 10 articles are still about her illiteracy, like the illiteracy conspiracy theory.
Because, honestly, like, it's what she gets for the way she acted on Glee.
Also, oh my God, I don't know if I want to bring it up because it's extremely dark vibes and bad energy and snakes will manifest in our home. But the, you know, that film they made with, what's her name? Miss Fanning or whatever. The one about the girl that convinced her boyfriend to...
Oh, it's a series.
Yeah. It's like a true crime series based... The Girl from Plainville. Thank you so much.
Oh!
And you heard about the Leah Michele thing, right? So, apparently, yeah, where the girl who...
yes. Allegedly, I actually had read about this as that news was originally
The
breaking.
Girl that allegedly convinced her partner to... harm himself.
Well, I think she was actually tried and convicted.
Yeah, she was tried and convicted. Yeah. I haven't watched the documentary, the true crime documentary, or the show.
Interest.
I will not be, so I'm just going to say allegedly and keep it vague. But it's been coming out. A lot of people at TikTok have been posting about how apparently, and it's apparently true.
Let's not laugh.
I Someone really died. Shouldn't, but it's just so overwhelming. But that girl in question, the girl from Plainville, would used to watch Leah Michele clips from Glee and, like, recite the monologue line she would do as, like, a part of her, like, weird kind of, I don't know, ritual thing that she was
well,
doing.
I think it has been proven in court that Glee causes actual mental trauma on people. And I think it's,
the
now,
ripple
like,
effect of that show has circled the earth.
Like, it's been legislated that Glee is, like, not good for your
but
health.
To actually see Leah Michele clips from Glee be used in, like, an actual true crime documentary on the, you know.
One of these days, Ryan Murphy will pay for his sins against humanity. Like, you know, when they talk about in American Horror Story season 1, you know, the devil is born.
Yeah.
Because, like, the devil had sex with a ghost, basically. Or, like,
sure, I don't remember what the fuck happened.
Like, the, like, a supposed apocalypse baby.
Yeah, the Antichrist or something.
Is actually just Ryan Murphy's origin story. Like... It was actually a story of the birth
based
of
on true
Ryan
events.
Murphy. Yeah, like based on true events. That's also how Ryan Murphy came into the world. His mom had sex with a latex sex demon, like who looked like Evan Peters. Like,
I mean, to explain a lot.
But Evan Peters, actually. The early years, like
not whatever we're seeing now.
No,
aren't they on like season 12 now?
Yeah, I think
they did. They did Trump as a season, right?
They did and double then... feature. They did Colt. Colt, I think, was the Trump season.
I'm sorry, Ashlyn. Ryan Murphy, Aaron Sorkin, Josh Whedon. Who is the fourth horseman?
I was gonna say it, but I probably shouldn't.
You can be canceled here. It's fine.
It's Tyler Perry. He's the fourth horseman in that equation.
God, you were so right.
In terms of like
psychological damage, yeah.
In terms of like powerful media men who make things that hurt people, yeah.
And have a vice grip on the industry.
Yeah. So
from that,
I think like, oh, I also have this. Lala, or no, not Lala Kent.
The other one.
Raquel reveals restaurant manager Peter Madrigal asked her out on a date after split from fiancé James Kennedy. I said yes, because why the hell not?
It's getting desperate in that side of Hollywood.
Okay,
it is getting bleak.
Do you think that Raquel, who, by the way, famously, like, divorced James Kennedy live on television.
Not really divorced. No. They weren't married, but
No. She called off the wedding famously at the reunion, which I wrote about on our blog, eatingforfree.com. You can go read that now. But do you think this means that Raquel wants to be back next season? Because it kind of was unclear at the end of the reunion.
Is there a next season?
Oh, you think they're going to let Katie get divorced from Tom and not film it?
The cameras should already be filming.
I do think that this is how they bring Stassi back.
If I have to watch her talk about girl bossing again, I'm going to end my life.
Hi, it's me, Stassi. I'm like really like trying to grow.
Isn't she doing another book?
Is she?
I think she has a second book. Let me look this up. Let me not just say
Women Get Canceled Too. The Stassi Edwards story. Stassi, what was Schroeder? Her name? Stassi Schroeder.
Or whatever her name is now. I think it's her still. Oh no, maybe it is just another tour of her Next Level Basic book. Oh no, introducing Off With My Head.
What's it say? Read it.
The New York Times bestselling author of Next Level Basic and a fan favorite alumna of Bravo's Vanderpump Rules returns with the definitive basic bitch handbook for surviving your rock bottom moments. So she means getting canceled. Like, that's what she means. Through stories, confessions, illustrations, and plenty of self-reflection, self-deprecation. Oh, Jesus. This new book goes behind the scenes and addresses the experiences of getting canceled, getting positive pregnancy tests, and saying I do in the backyard instead of Evan Italy. So she means like having her wedding in her backyard because COVID. And when she means canceled, she means getting outed for saying racist, horrible shit and sticking the cops
calling
on a the cast
police
member.
On faith.
It's just like, Stassi hopes her story will help others see the light at the end of the tunnel in their own lives. Because, you know, we get canceled every other day.
Is this how she comes back on the show?
She writes about the importance of having a good cry at work, in the shower, in your closet. Ways to navigate social media responsibility. Sometimes that means logging the F off when crowds are chanting off with her head.
No, that's where they get the title.
Off with their head. How to practice self-care when wine is not an option, and how not to become a bridezilla. Plus, she'll offer tips on marrying your fuckboy, embracing pregnancy sweats, both cashmere sweats and night sweats, and styling babies' OOTDs.
This fucking,
you have to actually be in like,
this book.
You have to be like a certain type of person to survive. Like, to quote Gemma Collins directly, you have to be a certain type of person to survive this. Like, I am not one of those people. No, it gets worse. Wait, here's the last copy here. So roll up your bedazzled sleeves, or the sleeves of the tattered robe.
That's why Willow couldn't bedazzle her ears, because Stassi took all the bedazzle.
Hollywood was had nothing left. So roll up your bedazzled sleeves, or the sleeves of the tattered robe you've been wearing nonstop because you're at rock bottom. Jesus Christ. Grab a cocktail and let your favorite, more evolved basic bitch take you on a wild ride inside the bumpiest year of her life.
Your favorite, more evolved basic bitch.
This is like This is like manifesting worms in my brain. Like, it's remotely telepathically destroying my frontal lobe. I cannot believe. Okay, actually, wait, there's more copy on the on the Simon & Schuster website. Just real quick, one extra paragraph. The year 2020 was going to be the best year of Stassi's life. Besides getting engaged and feeling she was on top of the world of the she was top of the world career-wise, she bought her first house and was planning her dream Italian wedding. The future showed so much freaking promise until it all went to hell. Stassi may not be perfect. She may have had some major mistakes, but she does feel like she has done some insight and plenty of hilarious tales about getting knocked up, called out, and learning from what went wrong. It's just like actually the worst. Like, if they have to bring her back on TV because of this book. She has a Patreon. She has a Patreon that is $9 a month.
How many people does she have?
The good, the bad, the baby. Is creating a podcast and exclusive videos by Stassi Schroeder and Beau Clark. Oh God, is this a Patreon to learn about childcare content? $8.99 per month, or save 16% if you pay annually. We're not holding back in our weekly family-centric podcast. We share our birth story, talk postpartum and breastfeeding journey, how our relationship has changed since having a baby, and so much more. In our community, we share Hartford's first and get advice from you on so many things, including traveling with a baby, baby-led weaning, favorite products, etc. No. For $8.99 a month, you get access to our weekly podcast, The Good, The Bad, The Baby, two exclusive videos per month, and additional posts and updates from our family.
Ew.
Oh, ew. Mama.
No, I don't want it. No, you better not. They can't even mix the audio.
We don't need to talk. We don't need any more talk about that.
There's so much background noise.
Do we say welcome? No, you don't say welcome because it's like.
They've been here.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah, how do we
Get this shit off. I don't want to see this. I'd rather talk about Kristen Doughty, the other famous canceled member of Vanderpump Rules.
This is like our welcome video.
This is a welcome video.
Yeah, so basically we're here to explain what you get if you join our Patreon, which is the good,
stop.
The bad, the baby.
You have to
The way
stop.
It literally is parallel to an MLM. Like, why you have to invest in Herbalife proteins and shakes and powders. Like,
so Kristen Doughty, by the way, the other member of Vanderpump that got canceled.
I miss
remember
her.
T-shirt? Remember
I mean, she did the same horrible thing Stassi did, so I shouldn't get
remember
her t-shirt
accolades. Line?
What was it called?
James May. So, I'm going to read
she
you
came
some
up with
of the graphic tees.
I will never
Let's
know.
Go on a trip, and it's a picture of a mushroom. Be nice. Kind of rad. I hate it here. Blue jean baby OG. Pretty cool. Mood killer. This is Color Guard, Sport of the Arts. Pink Floyd, The Wall, Love, Valley Girl Crew, You Grow Through What You Go Through, Stevie Forever, James May Vintage.
Did you say Steamy Forever?
Stevie.
Stevie.
Like Stevie Nicks. Season of the Witch, Sun Chaser, Lace and Paper Flowers. Be a legend.
Who is buying this?
Just a little rock and roll.
Is her logo? Is that? I thought it was the
like
Oppenheimer Group
moon.
Logo, like from Selling Sunset.
Come together, cosmic crush. We are all stardust.
This is literally every boutique store
always
in Los Angeles put
choose
together.
Dare. Oh no, it gets worse.
Is this a tarot card?
Keep
set?
Austin weird.
Keep Austin weird. That's like that's the catchphrase from the city itself. Like, are you allowed to put that on a shirt? Like, oh, it's in that horrible cursive font.
Oh
also.
Hell! Wow. Oh, there's men's too. I won't read it, but there is men's just in case. Oh no!
As you say, is that Tom Schwartz wearing
no,
that?
No, it's Tom Schwartz. Oh no!
Cursed! Cursed! Cursed!
Accessories.
The way this is just a Teespring shop, like
this is literally like
repurposed,
worse than our shop. Like, oh, we are gonna have new merch coming out, you guys. So keep your eyes peeled. We'll
oh
definitely...
yeah, it's gonna be really good, actually.
Dear
so
music,
thank original
you for
content.
Saving me again. Oh no, she has the.
Wait, is this the Instagram for the store? Word
that's also the name of a famous music video on one of her t-shirts, and it's like, Kristen, it's 2022. You can't say that word, and you can't put it on your t-shirt. It's like, oh boy. Oh no, a Black Friday sale was like one of the last posts they did.
That was the inventory clearance sale. Like,
wait, the last post was March 10th, so that's how you know.
Dear music, thank you for saving me.
40,000 followers.
That's and horrible. None of them are real.
Oh no, not the ambassador.
Hey, she has more than Rinna Beauty.
Okay, the James May ambassador program is here. 63 weeks ago, not a single person tagged as an ambassador.
Wait, is that like an MLM moment? An ambassador program? Like you buy her shirts? No, it means like
you're
them.
One of the social media influencers that gets sent their product. And have to, I mean, I guess that is also an MLM.
You're probably, I highly doubt she's sending any free clothing to people. That's for sure.
Welcome to Eating for Free, the Leftovers episode, where we talk about Drag Race for 15 minutes and then refuse to actually engage with any of the headlines. We're like, oh, we also have these headlines and we're not going to talk about them. Instead, we're going to go on Kristen Doughty's Teespring shop and read Stassi Schroeder's book publicist, like press release. Good podcast that we did today. We had a train wreck of a main episode and a train wreck of a leftovers.
A train wreck?
A train wreck of emotions. A train wreck of the psyche. Not necessarily a train wreck in quality.
Not necessarily.
I do feel some kind of cosmic justice, though, that the new Fantastic Beasts tanked just a week.
Floppington.
Like a week and a half after we uttered our Dumbledore has to show hole curse. Like, that's Avada Kedavra, but to J.K. Rowling, like, show Dumbledore's hole. She just drops dead immediately. Like,
did you hear that they had to cut out the, like, you know, 1.5 seconds of scenes that prove that Dumbledore is gay for, like, the Chinese release of the movie?
Oh, boy. I'm sure that inspired all the best takes on the internet.
Yes.
I'm sure everyone had really good things to say about that, and it was a productive conversation for everyone involved. Oh,
congrats on the Don't Say Gay bill, Julie.
I will say that's gonna, I'm gonna clip that out of context and I'm gonna use it against you. I will say, everybody, go see Everything Everywhere All at Once. Loved it. But I also want to talk about the actual movie of the year. I saw the Jujutsu Kaisen movie. Yes! That is a movie, girl.
Where'd you see it?
I saw it at the AMC, mama.
Oh, okay.
I saw it with a bunch of people who refused to go see Sonic the Hedgehog on opening day. But it was a circle of people. A Venn diagram is a circle of people who would go see Jujutsu Kaisen and people who would go see Sonic the Hedgehog. So I'm glad I was at least on the right side of the coin. I don't know. Like, I've tried to spin that metaphor out.
Like the coin in Sonic?
Movie. I physically had to restrain myself from jumping up out of my seat. So that's where I'm at emotionally.
I'm happy you had a good time.
It's all that we can ask for in this life. A little bit
is
of
is that what your tweet about teenagers was about? Like, yes. Was about that movie?
Okay, that is the one thing I realized I forgot I hate so much about going to the movies
anywhere in public
during the weekend is having to be in a theater with teenagers. Which is why I always used to go like Tuesday at like 6 p.m.
A weekday, like late afternoon, is
like
the
an
best
adult
time to see a movie.
Best time to see a movie.
You can do whatever you want and it's so easy.
Yeah. But yeah, on the weekends, you know,
you don't feel victimized personally by their
people
presence.
Playing Fortnite on their phones, like
oh god,
babies crying.
The worst is TikTok's prevalency. When I was in Vegas, there would be people just watching
you
TikToks
would hear
at
the
full
like,
volume.
You would hear the TikTok swiping.
No, you would hear the like top 10 most obnoxious sounds that specifically straight TikTok rotates through every day. Like that's the only ones you would hear. Like I can't manifest them right now, but you know what I'm talking about. Like the worst music you've ever heard in your
oh
life.
No. Oh no.
Yeah, that
oh no.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Pressing end on this podcast. Want to get out of here?
Let's do it. 3, 2, 1.
Hi, my name is Dumbledore Schroeder, and I'm making podcasts for people who have babies, by babies, about babies. Do you want your baby to know how to call the police on your black neighbors? Listen to my podcast. That's the Stassi Schroeder way.
She's such an inspiration to
girl boss everywhere,
to
girl
every
boss
girl
everything,
boss,
girl boss gatekeep,
to gaslight. Every Shein ambassador in Los Angeles.
Prayers up to all of you.
To every girl that just likes getting coffee and going on hikes.
Were you too unpopular on Instagram to be a Dolls Kill model? You could sell my decorative t-shirts through my Patreon instead.
Okay, let's get out of here.
Bye.
Bye.